给这个开发，再上去吧。tene lo nga ma nga ran de chamba la ye chu so de cha ti le ba re te ren ya ja de le te chamba le lo ma chu ta che re ma le lo ma chu ta lung ki je lo ma chu ta tene te zon sa la tham che la nge ta ki de li
I came once last year to this Shambhala Center. And now to come again, to be able to meet all of you students of Shambhala and of Longchen and Srimala, Awakened Heart, makes me very happy. I wish you all Tashi Dalek.
Then down there, Namkan Tempe Dazo Chunan Lakavanai, Tender Jinawan.
We have the opportunity to meet again and again, and these repeated meetings are examples of dependently arisen appearances. Just like when the sky is free of clouds and there is a clear lake on the ground and a moon in the sky, then there can appear in that lake the image of a water moon. Our practice of the genuine Dharma is, in fact, nothing more than our effort to cause these dependently arisen appearances to get better and better and better. When excellent dependently arisen appearances manifest, then that puts a stop to the appearance of negative dependently arisen appearances. And when there are only excellent dependently arisen appearances, then Buddhahood is attained.
Java Gochampe Zimbe Nyopa Tamata Jutin Zuni Shavata.
As the victorious Gotsangpa saying, the murkiness of clinging clarified causes and conditions like reflections. Knowing what to do and not, that subtle art, these are three that make relations, that make connections fully free, like a lance that flashes free in the open sky.
Zembe nyoba tang sijuti, dembar zembe nyoba tang na, tene nandong yeme je nawa kyagri. Nawa yar rukri.
The murkiness of clinging clarified means that clinging to appearances as being truly existent dissolves. And when we no longer take the appearances that we perceive to be real, to be truly existent, then they manifest for us as appearance and emptiness. And that is what it means to have a good appearance. When you know an appearance is appearance emptiness, then it's an excellent one.
Then den den je nando tan namandaso mala ngo khepa nawanda wo yungre sambayo maranga samjar sam
den den gi nam to
ti tana
dana
ola nawande kande yungre sana mala ngo khepa dawo yungre sambayo mala ngo khina Tene namkhala prabhata metekpata chuye metekpata bhayangi chepa chetukuri tendavu yungkuri sambayo sambayo se narang sam marve
rela And when our thoughts that cling to things as being truly existent are purified, then I think what that's probably like is when, what the experience of that is like is when you dream and you know you're dreaming. When you dream and you know you're dreaming, then you can do all kinds of things. You can fly in the sky, you can move unobstructedly through objects. Everything is open, spacious, and relaxed. And that's what I think the experience is like when you no longer cling to things as being truly existent.
Dene tamao, dene matambao, tata ne nimo, tosa sona saro ne temo, samba tenda wola, tsinjin jin namzo, sigre, tenda wunamzo yavale.
Even when our clinging to things as being truly existent fades and is no longer present, just like when we know that we are dreaming while we are dreaming, still we have thoughts that cling to characteristics. And these are thoughts which think, for example, oh, this is clean, but this is dirty. This is my friend. This is my enemy. Now it's daytime. In a few hours it will get dark and be nighttime. We still have these kinds of thoughts, even though we no longer perceive or cling to or believe these characteristics to be real ones.
Tene tsengtseng je namdo tana taro ninang namdo yore. Ninang namdo se jete tene malang oche pa kapso meke zog tonga nave dratyo pa laso wala Is a non-tangi de mato, then he came by your mare. Malango hippa capje, gong and nam hila, zuda terrore, the dagi kawandao, this lamna, parchendig de sambayo.
Even when the thoughts that cling to things as being truly existent, as well as the thoughts that cling to characteristics, are both purified, there still remain concepts of bare dualistic appearance. Bare dualistic appearance refers to the perceptions by the five sense consciousnesses of their objects. So when the eyes perceive forms and the ears hear sounds and so forth, but there is no clinging to any characteristics of that experience conceptually. There's just a mere knowledge that there is some perception there. Then that's the last form of, and the most subtle form of clinging that there could be.
Dordona, Dengzin, Tinzin, Ninanga, Zimbale, Trover, Rambatan, Turba, then it tapetend it and now and Chapsuti, Yara, Yara, Zanda, Zanda, Dore. Tapetend it and now I catch Yara, some wonge, Mada petend it and now and the Yingsu nom dore. Drawing your mother in a young Yingsu nobam or answer to it.
And as our clinging gets weaker and weaker, and we purify progressively clinging to things as being real, and clinging to characteristics, and then clinging to dualistic appearance, then dependently arisen appearances get better and better and better. they get more and more excellent.
디센는데는 아주 담배 추진념에 세반데 닭부텐르지 나와 공님 베르겐 마다부텐르지 나와 라사트르 프로베타브레스 라메양 데네 디그레 가르바요 마레 리퀸노이지요 마레
아소
삼바요.
These impure, the impure dependently arisen appearances are not things that we physically remove or send somewhere else, because in fact reality is beyond coming and going. And so in fact, these impure dependently arisen appearances are described as being self-liberated. They dissolve in their own place. And so therefore, if we say that the practice of the genuine Dharma is the practice of causing dependently arisen appearances to become more and more pure, and the impure appearances to be self-liberated, then there's no way you could logically attack that statement as a description of the practice of the genuine Dharma. That's what it's about. If we connect this with our own experience, then we can see how it really works. How improving dependently arisen appearances is in fact possible. For example, if we meditate in the samadhi of love and cultivate love for everyone, we can even start with our parents and the people we feel close to. Just by cultivating more love for them, then all of a sudden, when we meet them, their appearance is much more pleasing to us than it was before we did that. And certainly, if we extend that to include our enemies, then someone whom before we didn't like to meet and we felt very unpleasant inside, if we should meet them, by cultivating love for them, then when we meet them again, we feel happy. So just by our own practice, we have improved the appearances that dependently arise. And that's what the rest of the practice is like too.
Dordana, semtin la tatsur tang sanzur de, dene yara yara sona, zangdu sona, tonsor yang yara yara. Yara yara zakar, zangdu zangdu.
Naso.
Marwe.
Nangzu
yara drona, dene tonsor. Samzur yara yara drona.
In short, if the way we think about other sentient beings gets better and better, then the way we see them will get better and better. We think about them in a better way, we'll see them in a better way. Their appearance to us will improve. And what does it mean to get better and better? It means that appearances get more and more excellent, more and more pure, more and more noble.
Tene yong je samba de chi yong wa kap so sim chin tam je da da je pe sim chin tam je yi do won nam ba chin de kha yo ko ne. Te sam zo le te de ton zo ya do.
To say that dependently when we meditate in the samadhi of love, what our purpose is to make it so that we feel happy to see or think of any sentient being. So what we're doing is cultivating the feeling that all sentient beings, even our enemies, make us happy to think of them. And when we have that happiness at the thought of whoever it might be, then when we see them, the appearance is much better than it was before. Here, what we can see is the connection between the way we think on the inside and how it is that things appear to us on the outside. And this shows that inner and outer are interrelated. They are also examples of dependent arising. It's described that in the 10 directions, there are an inconceivable number of pure realms. And the reason why there are so many is that sentient beings are practicing the Dharma. They are cultivating mental attitudes that cause outer appearances to improve. Their inner attitudes and ways of thinking improve, and outer appearances then, the way that they appear, improve until they manifest as the pure lands themselves. But if nobody did that, if nobody was cultivating inner states of mind that caused outer appearances to improve, no one would experience a pure realm. How could they? Conversely, if we think in increasingly negative ways, then outer appearances will appear to us in progressively negative states. And things will appear worse and worse until they begin to take on the appearances of the lower realms, the animal realms and the hungry ghost and the hell realms. For example, now we can see the difference in our own experience between when appearances seem to get better and better as a result of cultivating love and compassion for others, or on the other hand, if we cultivate anger, then things get more and more negative. So we can see from our own experience how it is that our own mental attitude is either going to improve appearances or make them worse. And therefore, the appearances of the higher realms and of the pure realms on one hand, and the appearances of the lower realms on the other hand, all of these outer appearances depend primarily on the ways that we think inside, the attitudes and the mental states that we cultivate. They are the causes for how things are going to appear outside of us. Now we have the opportunity to gather together in this hall of the Dharma and to have a Dharma discussion, to listen to the Dharma being explained, and that is a very good dependently arisen appearance. And so, taking this excellent dependently arisen appearance as the basis, I have thought now it would be good to give you this brief, a little bit deeper explanation of the importance of dependent arising and how it relates to our practice. Did the photocopies get distributed?
Duge.
Have they been made? Yeah, so we should hand out these photocopies now, because the first thing we should do is sing a song by the Lord of Yogis Milarepa called Identifying a Capable Student. And in this song, Milarepa sings of primarily the view of the selflessness of the individual, and then connects that up with the view of Mahamudra. So our topic for this weekend is Mahamudra, but that starts with an understanding of the selflessness of the individual. So that's why we should start with this particular song that Milarepa sang. And so Milarepa begins the song by singing, "To the Guru who has realized basic selflessness, I pray in awe with body, speech, and mind. Please bless us, me and all my students to come, that we too realize basic selflessness." Here, Milarepa is supplicating his Lama who has realized basic selflessness. This refers to Milarepa's teacher, Marpa, the translator. And he supplicates Marpa for his blessing, that Milarepa and all of his students to come will directly experience the reality of the selflessness of the individual. Not that they will leave this as some inferential conclusion or conceptual notion, but rather that they will be able to directly experience its reality.
Tene sajje tenpo gomba nödenje gomba po nödenje loma la kande kande gugre ten nödenje loma yedin sombar.
And then the song goes on to explain the characteristics, the qualities of what a student who is worthy of Ma Mudra teachings must possess.
Tene sajje tenpo topa layang tabaram juse na tambo kanzak da mapa nga nga da da sambe danzin che namdo khebar se palla kanzak dami to gubse na kanzak dami de dordu de ten de tene dami to ne chuj dami khandaz to gubdo chuj dami to bala dene chuj dami janta to ba de saja chembo yin bar somba.
If we look at these qualities for meditating on Ma Mudra that we must have from the perspective of the stages of the view, then the first thing we have to concentrate on is our belief in the self, in the true existence of me and I. And we must undertake the investigation that results in the dissolving of these thoughts that believe that a self exists. And once we do that, then we can begin to look at the emptiness of phenomena and how phenomena lack true existence. And the ultimate emptiness of phenomena is Mahamudra, the true nature of mind. So that's how the view progresses. So now let's sing this song. We'll sing the song and then I will explain the parts that need a little bit more explanation.
Yeah.
So I'll sing a few lines and then we can all start over together from the beginning. To the Guru who has realized basic selflessness, I pray in awe with body, speech, and mind. Please bless us, me and all my students to come, that we too realize basic selflessness. Please hold us in compassion's steady grip, that keeps our skandhas free of ego idea and everything that idea's feeding on. Now we pray to watchful shepherd, listen to this. To the Guru who has realized basic selflessness, I pray in awe with body, speech, and mind. Please bless us, me and all my students to come, that we too realize basic selflessness. Please hold us in compassion's steady grip, that keeps our skandhas free of ego idea and everything that idea's feeding on. Now we pray to watchful shepherd, listen to this. This consciousness conceiving I and me, I look at it but know not how to see. If you can meditate on Mahamudra, your seeing will be one where nothing is seen. To do this Mahamudra meditation,
The basics, faith, respect, and great resolve. While on the path causality, please know and heed to get the fruit directly to emerge. You need the Guru's Wong and Lung and guiding words to be a vessel for instructions like these. The student has to have the merit it takes and must keep going right through good times and bad, persevering even in the face of death. Oh, young apprentice, can you practice like that? If so, it's through your training lives before. If not, then there's no point in saying more. You got the picture when you said it like this. What I think is me, I cannot find. You're done with personal lack of self. You want phenomena's lack of it too. Then follow me throughout the next 12 years, and then you'll recognize your mind itself. So then to recognize your mind itself, oh young apprentice, work with mind like this.
Dini nga dadun zemba mani ba kanzak dami to bai. Ta chuji dami to duna lo chuni nga isi gin dong sumbara. Tambo kanzak dami. Lu dan sem ni la hirabji chede. Lu dan sem dadu madrupe. Jumchen yang dapan thongna. Ten kanzak dami. Langi hichi bari. Kanzak dami tobar kanzak dami lengi hi ki sim bi jiso chu je da ma ba to ban do na lo chu ni ngai se yin dang de gom go do te gom ne te ne chu je da me ta do yin be jom jin ji te ne se mo ki ban jo ro wa te ne se je ne lo to go re s to go re su ma te na chu je da me je ta to ba sem je ne lo yin ba te ma Marve.
Hello.
Yeah.
Near the end of the song, Milarepa sings of the stages of the view. You got the picture when you said it like this. What I think is me, I cannot find. So that's the first step that we have to take. We have to look at the body, look at mind, and try to find the self. Try to find this thing we call I and me. When we look for it with analytical reasoning, we can't find it. When we examine the body and mind with precise knowledge or prajna, we can't find a self. Either in the body or in the mind. We can't find anything that resembles me or I. So therefore we can conclude that the self does not exist in or as the body, in or as the mind. And knowing this, we gain certainty that in fact there really is no self. Self doesn't truly exist. Gaining this certainty is the basis of realizing the reality, experiencing the reality of selflessness. And once we have this certainty, we can move on, as Milarepa says, you're done with personal lack of self, because you can't find it. You want phenomena's lack of it too? Then follow me throughout the next 12 years. So the next step is to gain certainty in and cultivate that certainty in meditation, certainty in the emptiness of phenomena. And since the ultimate emptiness of phenomena is the true nature of mind, Mahamudra, then Milarepa sings at the end, to follow me throughout the next 12 years, and then you'll recognize your mind itself. You'll recognize the true nature of mind. After studying and cultivating certainty on and meditating on the emptiness of phenomena, you will understand, you will realize its ultimate expression, which is the true nature of mind. If we think from one perspective, then it seems like if somebody said to us, if you want to realize this, you have to follow me for 12 years, that seems like a long time. And from the perspective of making a daily schedule or something like that for what we would do over the course of the next 12 years, then it does seem like a long time from that perspective. But if you think about 12 years to attain enlightenment, it's not so bad. To attain the state of enlightenment, sometimes in the Mayan it's explained that you have to practice the Dharma for 3 or 7 or 37 times 10 to the 59th eons in order to attain the state of enlightenment. So compared to that, 12 years doesn't seem very long at all. It's only the time span of the terms of office of 3 presidents. If we think about taking birth over and over again in samsara without beginning or end, countless lifetimes, seems very tiring. But if we really think about it, all there is the present. All there are our present set of experiences, this very present moment of mind. There's no past and there's no future. The only thing we ever experience is the right here and now. And when we understand that all there is the present, then births without beginning or end are not tiring at all.
Dembar hinchen, dembar hinbar la tembe. Tene Samsan kanga naso, Samsan chibu. Yungu yere. Te demi the datre papo, datre pe penda with the melange nawa re, melange nawa de tonzo re, tonzo genawa. Yuna yang, melangune tamakaso, tene.
We think we have one life, but in fact we have 3. We have the life we live during the daytime, We have the life we live during our dreams, and we have the life we live in the intermediate state of deep sleep, which is like a little bit of a vacation, because there are no appearances at all. And in this daytime life, we cling to the appearances we experience as being real. And this causes us difficulty sometimes. Sometimes things go well and we're happy. Other times things seem difficult and we suffer. So we therefore try to investigate these appearances and come to an understanding that they do not truly exist after all. Because freeing ourselves from that clinging to them as being real will liberate us from our suffering. And we use the example of a dream to help us to do that. Because in a dream, there are the appearances of empty forms. Forms that seem to be real, but in fact are empty of any inherent nature. And so during the day, we can know that quite well. And so we say, oh, this life is just like a dream. It's just the appearance of things that don't truly exist, just like in my dreams. And we can do that during the day, but when we dream, we can't do that. This example of the dream that we use during the day doesn't work when we're dreaming, because the problem is that these dream appearances resemble the daytime so much that we think they are real also. And so we fall into this confusion of dreaming and taking these empty forms to be truly existent, because they resemble the day. So thinking about things in this way, we can begin to understand the way in which we are confused. And understanding the way in which we are confused will lead us to an understanding of the way in which we can gain liberation from this confusion. If it were the case that the daytime appearances were real, were true, but the dream appearances were not, then this life that we lead would be broken up into little bits without any connection in between. You'd have a truly existent set of experiences separated by completely false ones, and so there'd be no connection between the true and the false. They're qualitatively, substantively different. How could that be? How could it be that life is a series of completely disconnected experiences? So that's a proof, actually, if you think about it that way, that all of it lacks any inherent nature. And therefore, the life we lead during the day and the life we lead during dreams, that is our example for how it is that the daytime appearances do not truly exist, as well as our life we lead when we're resting from appearances in deep sleep, they are all dependently arisen mere appearances. That is the explanation of the second turning of the wheel of Dharma.
Chujidame ba nigongo ba jumsingaina Samna junchen de parden dawa trape oman jopale. Damen denan roa nam torse chutan kanza yeve nami song songba. Dame ba namba nyebo de gongo be junchen de roa nam. Dunga je sawa kanza ke danzen tam. Kanga tamje je sawa. Chu je danzen ni le. Danzen namba ni le trowa. Danzen namba ni kevar cheve seve. Kevar che do sanje je dami ni somba le. Tendra wo guba mena dami ni songo be junzen ma. Dami ni songo ba la junzen.
If that's how it is, then what is the need for us to meditate on the emptiness of the self of the individual? The emptiness of phenomena. Why do we need to do that? This was explained to us by the glorious Chandrakirti in his text called Entering the Middle Way, Majjhimavatara, in which he says, since the two kinds of selflessness are what liberate sentient beings, then the Buddha taught the emptiness of the individual and the emptiness of phenomena. The root of all of our suffering is the belief in the true existence of a self. The root of all difficulty is the belief in the true existence of phenomena. And that is why the Buddha taught the emptiness of the self and of phenomena. Because by discovering that emptiness, we can free ourselves from this suffering and difficulty. If it weren't the case that the root of our suffering is this type of clinging, then no point to meditate on emptiness. Be useless. But since this is in fact the reason why we encounter difficulty, then in fact there is an incredibly wonderful reason, a fantastic reason, to meditate on these two kinds of emptiness. It is what will free us. Given our teacher, the Buddha, as the subject, if we put this into a logical reasoning, we would say, given our teacher, the Buddha, as the subject, there is a reason why he taught the two types of selflessness, because belief in self, belief in the self of the individual, is the root of samsaric suffering, and belief in the true existence of phenomena is the basis for all of our difficulty. And knowing, meditating on the emptiness of the self of the individual and of phenomena is what puts a stop to that suffering and difficulty.
Kanzak danzen the chuji danzen the mune mudena karesana na na da da san the same day kanzak danzen re seruji zoda tero reza la soba gumana sila namaka o zoda tero reza the zo dembare mumare rangin jutopare rangin jutopare Rana nawa yendo demba nawa yendo demba re sambe tene nanto tela chuje dande se.
So then, if we want to identify what is this clinging to a self in the individual? Clinging to a self or a self entity in phenomena. What does that consist of? Well, with the first, it consists of the thought, me. The thought, I. And thinking that the object of that thought is real. It's really there. That's the belief in the self of the individual. The belief in the self or the true existence of phenomena consists of our thought when we think of all of the sights and sounds and smells and tastes and tactile sensations we experience, and we think, these are all real. These things truly exist. They have their own objective existence. They have their own nature. They really exist just as I perceive them to exist. My perception of these things is accurate because that's how they really are. When we think like that, that's called clinging to the belief of the true existence of phenomena. The example for these two types of clinging that can help us to understand them is the example of a dream. Let's say you have a dream of being burned in a fire or being carried away by a huge river of water, drowned in water. Then the first thought you have is, I'm burning, I'm burning. Or I'm drowning. So we have this thought of me, this thought of I. Something bad is happening to me. So that thought of me, someone who is suffering in the dream, is the clinging to the self of the individual. And then we think, this fire is burning me. This water is carrying me to my doom. So we believe in the true existence of the fire that's burning us, the water that's drowning us. That's the belief in the true existence of phenomena. So these two combine, these two types of belief in self-entity combine to cause us lots of problems, to cause us suffering, even though it's just a dream, even though there's nothing really happening at all. We still, as a result of our conceptual clinging, will experience pain, will cry out in anguish, will weep, not because anything's really happening, only because of our clinging to these two types of self. And we all have experience with that. So that's why this is such a good example, the example of a dream. Out of these two, the belief in the true existence of the self of the individual and of self-entity in phenomena, the main source of our suffering is the belief in the me, the self of the individual. And this is explained, how this causes us problems, was explained by the glorious Dharmakirti in his text called the Pramana Vartika, or the Commentary on Valid Cognition. And what he said in that text was, first, we believe in self, and from that comes the belief in other. And from these images of self and other arise attachment and aversion. And from getting wrapped up in these, all faults that there are arise.
The Tambo Dayu said that Dal Migde Nana Sabe Dancing Namta do Yuna Dine Yune Zonde Yinja Namdo Chigri Tambo Nai Namdo Chi Dine Yinja Namdo Chi Dada Yinja Namdo de China Dine Yidu Wala Chapa Yidu Mumba La Dawa Pama La Mumba Chi Tele ten de lesa, tele ten de donga na zonyo, jung tam jen jung re sung.
Maso?
Marve?
Rela. Thus, the way it works is that first we have a thought of self, of me. We have some notion of what that is. And as soon as we have that, the very moment we have that, then we have a thought of what is not me, what is other. And then we start moving in this set of dualistic projections. And we start conceiving of some things as being pleasing. And we get attached to those, think, gotta get those things. And other things we find to be displeasing. So we get averse to those, think, gotta get away from that. And then there are other things which we find neither pleasing nor displeasing. And what arises in response to that is a kind of stupid indifference or apathy. As a result of these three disturbing states of mind, attachment, aversion, and stupid indifference, we perform karmic actions, motivated by them. The results of these karmic actions are always suffering. And in this way, it is our initial belief in self that is the root cause of our suffering. It would be good now if you wrote down these verses from both Entering the Middle Way by Chandrakirti and the Commentary on Valid Cognition by Dharmakirti, because this is the way that we learn in school. We take notes. So it's good for us to approach the Dharma in a way that we're used to, in a way that's in harmony with the way we learn things in the world normally, which is to take notes and to learn about the things that we write down. And while you're writing all of this down, this old Lama will take a little rest. First, we have two lines from the text called Entering the Middle Way. And they read, since selflessness is what completely liberates, wandering beings. The Buddha taught two types. The selflessness of individuals and of phenomena. Since selflessness is what completely liberates wandering beings, the Buddha taught two types: the selflessness of individuals and of phenomena. And then the verse from Dharmakirti's commentary on valid cognition. First comes belief in self. Then belief in other. And from the images of self and other, attachment and aversion arise, from getting wrapped up in these, all possible difficulties occur. We will recite these verses three times. By doing that, we will awaken a very special power in our minds. And it's very good to memorize these verses also, because you can hear a lot of commentary and explanation, but that's easy to forget. But if you memorize the root verses, you'll remember that again and again, and then you'll naturally remember the explanation as well. Since selflessness is what completely liberates wandering beings, the Buddha taught two types, the selflessness of individuals and of phenomena. First comes belief in self, then belief in other, and from the images of self and other, attachment and aversion arise. From getting wrapped up in these, all possible difficulties occur. Since selflessness is what completely liberates wandering beings,
The Buddha taught two types, the selflessness of individuals and of phenomena. First comes belief in self, then belief in other, and from the images of self and other, attachment and aversion arise. From getting wrapped up in these, all possible difficulties occur. Since selflessness is what completely liberates wandering beings, the Buddha taught two types, the selflessness of individuals and of phenomena. First comes belief in self, then belief in other, and from the images of self and other, attachment and aversion arise. From getting wrapped up in these, all possible difficulties occur. That sounded so beautiful. Because we're all gathered here, and when you recite these verses together and the sound is echoing from the ceiling as well, then at the same time it sounds like there's just one voice. At the same time it sounds like there are many voices. At the same time it sounds like one and many together. At the same time it's the sound that transcends one and many. And this is dependent arising at its best. In the old theaters in Greece, then that were built in ancient times, the acoustics are so perfect that you can stand at the bottom on the stage and talk in a normal voice and be heard from any seat in the theater. It's incredible. And even today, they don't know exactly how they built it like that. It's very difficult to replicate. And this echo that is sound while being emptiness, emptiness while resounding, is the best example there is of sound and emptiness, the reality of sound and emptiness. The best example for that is the echo. And these verses explain to us the reasons why it's important for us to meditate on the selflessness, the two types of selflessness. Knowing the reasons, we will become enthusiastic to meditate. We'll be delighted at the thought of having the opportunity to meditate on these two kinds of selflessness. And that's important because if we don't have joyous enthusiasm for our practice, we won't do it. You will just find it to be something that gives you a headache, makes your legs hurt to meditate like that. So what's the point? That's why enthusiasm, delight in the practice is so essential. The very definition of diligence is to delight in positive activity. To delight in the activity of listening to, reflecting on,
and meditating on the teachings of the Dharma. And if your delight is very strong, never get tired. However much practice you do, your body feels light, your mind feels comfortable and happy, so you just want to do more and more. That's what diligence is. Chandrakirti described this in the entering, his text, Entering the Middle Way, when he said, all good qualities follow after diligence. It is the cause of both the accumulations of merit and wisdom. So whatever good qualities there are that come from listening to, reflecting on, and meditating on the teachings, they come as a result of having diligence. And therefore, diligence is the underlying cause of both accumulating merit and wisdom. And we should investigate for ourselves and see whether this is true or not.
Tene kahe gom jamna, gom chetan jamna, gom jenambu jamna, gom la gawoyo, gom la gar nore, te tsundu yebuta. Kahe gom ta yel tambu gawoyo, jenambu jamna, gom la magawa jambre, te tsundu me.
Some people begin to meditate, and the more they meditate, the more they like it. So they meditate and they like it more and they want to do more, and it just keeps getting better and better. For that's a sign that they are diligent, they have diligence. Other people really like meditation in the beginning, but then they get tired of it. They don't want to do it anymore. That's a sign of lack of diligence. So we have to look at the meditator and see how enthusiastic the meditator is about their practice. That's for us to investigate. With the waves of coarse and subtle thoughts dissolving in their own place, the placid river of mind gently comes to rest. Free of the silt and mire of dullness and torpor, may the ocean of calm abiding be steady and undisturbed. Unbearable compassion radiates unceasing love, and as it does, its emptiness of essence nakedly shines. May we never leave this supreme and unerring path of union. May we meditate upon it all day and all night.
Sonam deye tamce zepan, tonne nebe dana pamce, teka nace bala trupan, sebe zole trova. Manjo lambo kuye trashishu, yena trushu sungi trashishu, Tadra dreme tuje trashishu, jawe kusum tuje trashishu. Nender nyemo dele tsendere, nyeme kunyan dele, nyemzen tadar dele, kunjo sumje trashishu.
Yeah. Omniscience made defeat the enemy wrongdoer. From the stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death, from the ocean of samsara, may I free all beings. By the confidence of the golden sun and the great east, may the lotus garden of the Rigdon's wisdom bloom. May the dark ignorance of sentient beings be dispelled. May all beings enjoy profound, brilliant glory.
Nasıl? Nasıl? Yarın.